upon me, I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Are you alive tonight? Or do you merely exist? You know there's a difference between the two. This carnal, pleasure-seeking, perverted, sin-sick generation exclaims to the height of their ability to shout it, we're living it up. But are they really? No, they're not living it up. They're not alive. They're dead. They're dead in their sins. They're dead in their trespasses. They've transgressed the holy and pure and righteous commandment of God. They've broken the law of their conscience. They've broken the law of nature that God's revealed unto them. And they've gone against that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now there's three preachers that preach to us before we ever hear a sermon preached by a minister. The evangelist called nature. The evangelist called conscience. And the evangelist called light. Those three things come against every sinner, every person. You may have asked the question, what about the heathen? What about those in the faraway lands that have never heard the truth of God, never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, never heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life? They're guilty because they sinned against their conscience. They sinned against the light that they have, the truth about the fact that there is a God. It's in every man that comes into the world, this knowledge, this truth. No matter how much the sinner, the skeptic, the atheist tries to suppress it and tries to convince you that there is no God, there is a God. There's a famous magazine that's on all the newsstands, very famous, and it's called Time. This magazine is not a bastion, not a periodical of conservative Christian moral ethics and values. In fact, it goes against everything that God stands for and God's Word stands for. It attacks everything that's conservative, everything that's beneficial, truly, in a biblical sense, and in a moral sense, it's against it. But I was reading an article in Time just the other day, and this article in Time said that they can take DNA, the basic building block of all life, the thing that's used to fingerprint those that have been involved in crimes like O.J. Simpson and others. They can take that blood, they can do tests on it, find the DNA code. And that code is a language, and it's just like a fingerprint. Everybody's is different. You have your own code, your own language. They can take that DNA, put it in test tubes, manipulate it just right, and it can do mathematical calculations thousands, hundreds of thousands of times faster than the greatest and best computers that we have today. It said it gave a problem in this article. And it said the best computers would take about 11 months to complete this problem, but they took the DNA code out of a human being and they used that DNA code and it works just like a computer. Well, it takes an intelligent architect, it takes an intelligent mechanic, it takes an intelligent engineer, designer to make a computer. Well, what about the computer that's thousands and hundreds of thousands times faster than what man can make? Who made that one? They just contradict themselves. These magazines, these books, this literature that goes out trying to contradict God. But every time it tells something about the truth about nature, truth about creation, it proves that there's a God. Hallelujah. Are you living tonight? What are you preaching on tonight, Brother Rick? I'm preaching on spiritual CPR. Hallelujah. CPR is cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Cardio referring to the heart. Pulmonary referring to the breathing apparatus of man, the lungs. Resuscitation, bringing it back to life. What does it take to bring us to life? Well, it takes salvation. It takes a resurrection. Oh, you may have existence tonight. Those sinners that are out there lost in sin, and maybe even some in this building tonight, you say, man, I'm alive. I'm living. I've got life. Look at me. I'm breathing. I'm walking. I'm talking. But spiritually speaking, if you're outside the body of Christ, you've never repented of your sin. You never put your faith in Christ. And that faith is continued to work through your life and produce a life of holiness and righteousness. You just exist. You're not really alive. In fact, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, spiritual CPR. It was John Wesley who had went through the meticulous educational process at Oxford University to become a minister, and he was involved in all type of ministerial work and Bible study and all these things. But he came to a position, a point in his life where he said that his heart was strangely warmed. He had mental knowledge about the Bible and the Word of God, but he'd never been resuscitated. He'd never had his heart, spiritually speaking, made alive. But he came to a point in his life where he said, my heart was strangely warmed. That's when he got saved. Hallelujah. That's when he got born again. What is the pulmonary part of spiritual CPR? Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That was before the fall. We're after the fall. If you're lost in sin, if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you're not alive. You merely exist, but you're dead. You're dead. According to the Word of God, you are spiritually dead. You need CPR. You need a resurrection. That's what sinners need. Sinners need a resurrection. Awake unto righteousness and sin not, for you have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. You may have existence, but you're not alive. But hallelujah, you can come to the house of God. You can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God can convict your soul and work on your soul and bring you to an altar of prayer. And in that prayer, you can ask Jesus Christ to take away your sin, to take away your guilt, to take away that carnal, wicked lifestyle, everything that you've ever done wrong. He can take it away. He can forgive it. He can cast it into the sea of God's forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Hallelujah. You need CPR. You need spiritual CPR. You're dead. You're laying there. You're spiritually dead. Yes, you have existence. You have life. You breathe air, but you don't really have the breath of God in your blow the Spirit of God, the wind of God in your life? You need a resurrection. Hallelujah. You need to wake up. You need to wake up from your spiritual death, the death that you're in, and Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, He can lift you out of that grave of sin, and He can put His breath in your body, and He can give you life. He can give you eternal life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You can't have life until you come to Jesus. You may be physically alive. You may be walking around. All you're doing is using up food, air, water, taking up space. Your life, your spiritual life, is dead. But if you come to Jesus, hallelujah, He can give you life. And life everlasting. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when I came to Jesus, when I was lost in sin, when I was, my life, my body, my mind was stupefied by drugs and by alcohol and by depravity. When I came to Jesus Christ and He laid His hands on me, He laid His body next to mine, and He breathed into me the breath of life, He made me a living soul. Hallelujah. And I can tell the difference between the life I live for myself and the devil and the life that I live for Jesus Christ. For only in Jesus Christ is there truly life. Are you alive tonight? Or do you merely exist? This brother that testified last night, he came up to the front, and God anointed him to give his testimony about the fact that he was spiritually dead and he was just about to be physically dead. But he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord resurrected him, not only physically, but spiritually. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not only do sinners need spiritual CPR, but church members need CPR. They don't need a resurrection. They need a resuscitation. That's right. Resuscitation. You were once alive. You once came to the house of God with a zeal, with a zip, with a fire from God. When the preacher said, raise your hands and praise Him, you always raised your hands and praised the Lord. And a few times you did it without having to be asked. Hallelujah. You came to the house of God. The saints of God begin to worship and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God moved by you, and God led you to get out of your seat and run for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you looked around. Some of you saw these saints of God that were running, and you thought, well, I'll just run too. And every once in a while, you got up and ran without having to be a follower. But it's been a long time since you ran for your life. It's been a long time since you raised your hand and said, thank you, Jesus. It's been a long time since you prayed, since you wept, then cried the warm tears down your cheek for the lost, for the sinner, for your own soul. And it thanks that God had saved you and raised you up and resurrected you from the dead. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since you spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. It's been a long time. You've gone cold. You've gone lukewarm. You stopped reading your Bible. You stopped praying with fervency and with power. Or you still say a prayer at the meal and maybe a little prayer between 7:25 and 7:30, but you never got that connection going like you used to have. You're not dead yet. The fire is still flickering. The wind is trying to blow that little flicker of fire into a flame again. but you got to put the fuel into it. You got to put the fuel into it. You got to begin to pray again. Even if you don't feel like it, you got to begin to raise your hands again. Even if you don't feel like it, David said, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. He was commanding his soul to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Been a long time. You've been satisfied to warm the pews. You've been satisfied just to attend. You've been satisfied just to give a dollar here and a dollar there. You've been satisfied just to make your presence known. But that wonderful communion, that wonderful connection, the Spirit of God moving by your soul, oh, that sweet communion that you once had, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. But thank God. Thank God there can be spiritual CPR applied to your life, and you can be resurrected again when the Spirit of God comes by and that wind begins to blow and you take a big breath of it. Hallelujah. And you start to feel rejuvenated again, and you start to feel alive again, and you start to feel like worshiping God again, and you start to feel like praising the Lord again, and you start to feel like praying again. The flesh is warring against the Spirit. And the flesh doesn't want to pray. It takes effort. Flesh doesn't want to stand up and praise the Lord. It takes effort. Flesh doesn't want to obey God, because the flesh knows that you're going to be blessed by it. You're going to be helped. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to be rejuvenated. Hallelujah. But when Jesus Christ comes by and the Spirit of God moves through the congregation like that wind moved on the day of Pentecost, and wherever the wind touches, there's life. Wherever the wind touches, there's resuscitation. Hallelujah. That heart that once stopped for revival begins to beat again, begins to pound again in your chest. Hallelujah. And that wind, that breath of God that once blowed through your body, your mind, your soul freely, is blowing again. Hallelujah. You've been resuscitated. Number three, spiritual CPR is needed for revival. Revival in the church. We need a revival, brothers and sisters, don't we? I need revival. You need revival. Hallelujah. Spiritual CPR can be applied to a congregation, to a movement across the board. It can take place. It can happen. And that revival can take place. But we got to pray for it. We got to plead to God for it. We got to pray for it. We got to ask God for it. We got to have unction and power. We got to have the Holy Ghost to get that resurrection that we need. Hallelujah. Praise God. John 10:10 says, the thief comes but for to kill, steal, take away life, murder you spiritually. But Jesus came to give life. Jesus came to give resurrection. He is the resurrection. He is the life. When we go to him, we can be resurrected by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. I'm glad God's ears are open to my voice. I'm glad that God's ears are open to my supplication. When I needed the Lord, when I cried out to him, when I asked Jesus Christ to take away my sins, to give me life, hallelujah, I'm glad he listened. I'm glad he was listening. Because he's inclined his ear unto me. Not only is he listening, he's inclined his ear. He's making an effort to get even closer to us, so that he wants us to be saved. That's been God's plan throughout the ages since man fell in the garden. God's plan has been to save man, counteract the fall, and bring life, bring resurrection life into all his people. Hallelujah. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Thank God. Since I've been saved, February the 10th, 1980, I've been calling on the Lord. And by God's grace and with God's help, I'm going to call on him as long as I live. Hallelujah. He's inclined his ear unto me. He wants to hear my prayer. He wants to have communion and communication with me. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, and that's all you'll find in the life of sin. The devil promises pleasure, but all he gives is pain, addiction, sorrow, and death. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Take my soul from this life of this existence of sin. Take my soul out of the hell holes. Take my soul out of the communion with the devil and with drugs and with debauchery and with rock and roll music and all these things that have taken me away from God. Lord, deliver me from them. That was my cry. Lord, deliver me from this drug addiction. Lord, deliver me from this lifestyle of sin. Lord, deliver me and take me out. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Hallelujah. I'm glad there was mercy for me when I needed it. I'm glad there was mercy for you when you needed it. Hallelujah. I'm glad for those that need mercy. There's mercy for them too. There's mercy for all of us. I'm glad for the mercy of God. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to deliver me. He didn't have to resurrect me. He didn't have to give me life. He didn't have to give me the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to give me sanctification. He didn't have to sanctify me, but he's merciful. Hallelujah. He didn't have to give me a mother and a father that loved God. And I talked to my dad today, and I told my dad throughout all my life, all the advice that others have given me. From time to time, they failed me, but I said, through my life, every time you gave me advice, even though I might have rebelled against it, went another route. When the end of that was finished, and I looked back and I said, Dad, you were right. Every time. He said, Rick, I love you. I told you the truth. But you had to learn your lesson. And I told my dad, by the grace of God, when you give me advice, from now on, by the grace of God, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to try to prevent myself from going through some of the things that I've already had to go through. You never led me astray, Dad. He said, I love you, Rick. He said, your mother and I brought you into this world. We only have good motivations for you. There may be those out there in this world that have other than pure motives for your life. And I've seen those that have, and they saw them before I did, and they warned me. They told me, but I wouldn't listen. I wanted to go my own way. But I told my dad, I said, Dad, you've never told me, you've never given me wrong advice. So I love you, Dad. May not be able to be with you today, but my heart is with you. I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. I thank God for his mercy that he gave me a mom and a dad that loved the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. You know what? The Lord, he'll let us go low. He'll let us get involved in sin. He'll let us go that path, because that's what it's going to take for some of us to see how bad sin really is. And then when we get to that point, there's nowhere else for us to turn but to the Lord. If we want to turn, I'm glad that when I got to my wit's end, when I got down to the end of the line, when I had no place else to go, when I contemplated suicide, taking my own life, listening to my drug, the drug-induced minds of the rock and rollers that I listened to. See you in the next world. Don't be late. Hell ain't a bad place to be. All my friends are there. I want to go there. Oh, but that's a lie of the devil. Yes, your friends will be there, but there'll be no parties in hell. There's only weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's only fire so hot that it's black. There's only desire, but no fulfillment in hell. I don't want to go there. I want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. He lets us get low so he can help us. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. I tell you what, the night I got saved, before I got saved, every night when I'd try to go to sleep, I'd be paranoid. Are the police coming tonight while I'm asleep? Are they going to find out about the drugs that I have? Am I going to die in my sins and go to hell? Am I going to be able to find another fix, another joint of marijuana? Am I going to be able to fulfill that lust, that desire? The guilt of sin pressed down so hard upon my life. I couldn't rest at night. But when I got saved, thank God when I got saved, all the guilt was taken away. All the desires of sin were taken. Everything that was keeping me from that rest. Only when he gave me rest, I laid my head on the pillow and I went to sleep. Went to sleep knowing that if you die sometime in the night, that you'll wake up with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Are you alive tonight? Or do you just exist? In Jesus Christ, we can find life. And not just merely life, but abundant life. Hallelujah. Not only does he save us, but he gives us joy, unspeakable, full of glory. He gives us friends, wonderful friends that we can associate with and have fellowship with. I don't have to worry about you doing me wrong. You're saved. You're good people. Hallelujah. Fellowship he gives us. The Holy Ghost he gives us. He sanctifies us. He's given us his word. He's given us life. He's given us an opportunity to serve him. He's given us everything that we need and so much more. Oh, we need to realize this fact tonight. Let's pray and seek the Lord who's able to give us life.